Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Never before. You know, I Pastor Josh was talking about this, and you know, that, you know, and this was prior to the Power Conference in Maui, but he began to prepare, you know, his church and the hearts of his people, you know, for God to be in this place of continually moving in their life. And I feel like, church, that's where we've got to, you know, even over these next 2 or 3 months, it's just like, you know, I begin to think about where next year's already at. I don't know if anybody does that, but, you know, I'm not just waiting until January rolls around to make decisions or think about vision or think about what the year's going to, what's going to take place. We're already starting to plan. We're already starting to think about things as we go into a new year. Praise God, that's a great thing to do. But God is ready to move. Can I get an amen tonight? Because, like, God, I want you to understand, God is getting ready to move. And you're going to find that in certain times, in not even seasons, but certain time through history, there were things that marked God moving. There were actual things that people did to usher in the very presence of God, the very power of God. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 1, that's one place where we can go back to scriptures and say God moved. God moved. God moved on the day of Pentecost. He poured out his spirit. Amen. It was upon them, but it wasn't just upon them. It was for the future church as well. I like to think that in the book of Acts, what you see happening is you see the New Testament church being born. You see God's church being born in Acts chapter 2. Amen. Acts chapter 1, they waited. Acts chapter 2, we understand that there was a mighty outpouring of his spirit. Church, God is ready to move. God is, you know, but I want to say this, that if we can go back and look even from the time of Pentecost, God's not only wanting to move, he's ready to move. You know, I love that the Bible says this, that his eyes search, you know, his eyes are searching. His eyes are going out, searching for vessels, searching for people that he might inhabit. You know, I love it that he inhabits what? The praises of his people. So, you know, I mean, I think even in that alone, like, how do we get to know him? How do we get to know the Holy Spirit? He inhabits the praises of his people. So there's certain things that we can do to prepare ourselves, you know, not only to think about revival, be in revival, but maintain a conscience of God's moving. You know, God's moving. That, you know, even today out of prayer, I begin to think about things even just out of prayer today. It's like, you know, who can I talk to? Who can I send a message to? I had a chance to talk with a family member today that I haven't talked to for quite a long time. Hey, I'm going to come visit. And it was all created through opportunity where actually Brother Don and Austin were at Center Branch Church. His shop teacher is courting my second cousin. Who would have thought anything like that would ever happen? I mean, it's like, you know, he took them out to dinner and she said, well, I'm from Ritchie County. And he says, well, do you know Brad and Miranda Reiser? And she's like, yeah, he's my cousin. And it's, yeah, who would have thought? You know, she lives in Shinston. When she moved up here, I sent her a message. But you know, it's like, you never know these appointments. And, you know, her father, Brock, who's my cousin, first cousin, he said, you know, I want to come and visit your church. He said, you know, I've been driving to Clarksburg. I said, listen, Fairmont's only 10 more minutes up the road, brother. It's not, you need gas, man, I'll help you get up here. 10 more minutes, you can be here. So, and I'm not, you know, he can go to Center Branch, but his daughter's been attending. She got baptized, amen. She got saved, praise God. And Austin's been ministering to the shop teacher in school, amen. So, you guys, listen, I think sometimes when we think about God moving, it's not just in the, aha, It's in those, you know, taking somebody out to coffee, taking somebody out. God moves that way too. And can I get you guys with me tonight? Everybody tired tonight? You awake? Amen. Okay, praise God. So understand that God's ready. He's ready to move. So, you know, I want you to just think about that. Meditate. God's ready to move. He's ready to move in my life. He's ready to move in my life. God's ready to pour out. He's ready to pour out his spirit. And I think sometimes it's like, well, I'm not ready. If you're not ready, he just might go over here. Right? But it's like we can have a readiness about God's outpouring in our life. Amen. Pastor Josh was talking about it, and it's been interesting because you're seeing happen on planet Earth moves of God. And he said, one of his friends, he said, it's a non-Pentecostal church. And he said, they had revival, like real, genuine, heartfelt revival. And those are the things that you're seeing, where people are coming to altars, repenting of sin and saying, what must I do to be right with the Lord? They had a worship night at the college, Fairmont State. Guys, we've been praying for stuff like that to hit our community, for those things to transpire, for those things to actually happen. Praise God. I want you to see this in Acts chapter 1 tonight, because one of the most important things that we read in this text, there's the pronouncement of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's being pronounced. There's the Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to endue you with power. And, there's another place in the Bible where you see the pronouncement of Jesus Christ. Just, if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 21 real quick. Matthew chapter 21, because there's something significant. Anybody watches, like where the President of the United States, let me give this an example, where the President of the United States, or I've been to governor's banquets and things like that, and they would, let's stand up now, let's honor the governor of West Virginia, or the President of the United States, there's that pronouncement of and that's important, right? Like we're all going to stand. We're going to get ready for the President of the United States. They honor in other countries, they may honor the king or queen, but there's this pronouncement. And I think it's so significant that you see what Jesus is saying in Acts chapter 1. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, but he's pronouncing to the church, you're not going to be a dead church. You're going to be a live church. You're going to be endued with power. And see that pronouncement of like, church, you're going to have power. Power to overcome. Power to destroy the wickedness of this world. And I don't know if that excites you, but like God has given me authority. God has given you authority. He's given the church great authority in this hour. But he pronounces, you'll see it in Matthew 21 because in verse 5, the pronouncement is Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. And it's a really neat story. But in verse 5, it says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went ahead as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and they set him on them. And at the very as the very great multitude spread their they spread their clothes on the road and cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed crying out saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And this pronouncement, you'll see it happen when Jesus was coming in, the pronouncement of a king. He's our king, amen. And you'll see it again. Here's Jesus pronouncing in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Pronouncement, one of the things, church, that it does is it carries weight. It absolutely 100% carries weight. Do you understand, like, when you prophesy, when you pronounce something, think about it. When you pronounce God as king and God as Lord, you're saying that that's what he is. We've talked a lot about this. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. But see, it's you're pronouncing. You know, you ever had to pronounce, I shall live and not die? I have. Lord, I pronounce, I command sickness out of my body. Lord, you know, making those declarations in our life, making that place and pronouncing the word of God over our lives. When we declare something, church, there's power released. I want you guys to realize that tonight, that you have power. The Bible says it here in Acts chapter 1, that you shall receive power. You shall receive power. God is saying, guys, listen, God's ready to move. He is moving. And I think if there's one thing you hear tonight, hear that in your mind. Like, get that in you. God's moving. God's moving. What do I need to step into to be a part of God's moving, God's leading? I mean, I will say this. People have been, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard, and the standard is you. The standard is the church. You know, guys, it's why we do certain things as a church, as a group, as the body of Christ. It's critical. It's critical. You know, many of you could say, hey, Pastor, this has been a year where I've had this, or I've had that, or this has happened, or that's happened. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. He raises up a standard. It's like you're here on a Wednesday night. You're here on a Wednesday night. We have kids over there. People are coming out to hear the word of God, to get something in you. Look, that not only helps you carry into the week, but it gets in you so that you can take it out to someone else. Amen. You know, Jesus said, and I talked about it last week in Luke 24. Luke wrote the book of Acts as well, but Luke said this, you know, he was writing and he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. Endued with power on high. You know, church, listen, I believe God's getting ready to do something in this house and in this church. I think it's significant. I think it's significant. I think God's getting ready to, you know, it's like I know that there's been that time of preparation. There's been that time of prayer. There's been that time of waiting on the things of the Lord. There's that time of fasting. There's that time of staying the course. But I believe God's getting ready to do something in this house. Because there's a willingness. There's a willingness to go further. There's a willingness to say, no, here I am, Lord, use me. Isaiah chapter 6. You know, I think sometimes we don't even realize how dangerous that can be. You know, because listen, when you begin to pray that way, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. God, see, God's ready to move. And I want you to catch this because I felt to preach around this even today, because as we get into the book of Acts, you see God move. Again, over a period of roughly 3 decades, 30 years, you see God move. In church, listen, I believe God's been moving since this day, since the day of Pentecost. But it's up to us. You know, I can't stress this enough. This is our watch. Church, this is your watch. This is your time to shine for Jesus. He chose you to be here. He chose me to be here. He chose to have a Kings here. So how do I get God into my heart to where I know He's moving in a certain way, or He's wanting me to do a certain thing? Well, listen, you know, hey, there's things we do. We pray, we listen. But we understand this, that He wants. And I think he wants the church, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that He wants the church to understand that he wants you to operate with power. With power. That, you know, we talk about this in power to witness, yes. But listen, the power was released upon the early church for signs and wonders and miracles. People were healed. People were raised from the dead. You know, even as Peter's shadow passed by, people were healed. They drug people into the streets, and signs and wonders and miracles took place. And I believe that can be commonplace for the church. For the church, amen. You know, I want to move into this tonight because, see, I think if I talk about revival, when I talk about, I don't know. I've studied revivals, and I do. I have a tendency to get really, really fired up when I read about them, and I watch great men of God, and I watch preachers. But I find that a lot of times there's certain things that we have to do is we have to maintain a certain posture as believers. And I'm not talking about just standing, because I think sometimes when we talk about having posture as a Christian, we think, you know, it's standing. Yes, we need to stand firm. But there's certain postures in our life that we have to maintain. And I think God moves through those. He'll move through those postures a lot of times. And, you know, I would say that, you know, one of the main postures I believe for every believer, you know, for God to come in and move in their life is the posture of one's heart. Is the posture of one's heart. God, you know, and I love this in Proverbs 4:20. You know, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not turn them from out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. They are health to one's whole body. Above all else, the Bible says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life, and life flows through the heart." So I honestly believe that the Holy Spirit, if you want to know the one area that I believe that prepares us and gets us ready for revival, is God touching our hearts. God touching our hearts. He's like, I'm preparing you for something, but you know, I want to touch this because I want to make sure you're ready. I want to make sure you're, you know, and that's why I believe, you know, even Solomon was saying, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Out of it, the issues of life flow. But I believe that we have to have a heart posture that's like, I don't know, you know, I remember a few years back, and it's probably been 10 or 12 years, I can remember when I felt like I had a scalpel come across my heart. And it was like, not in real life, but it was like the Holy Spirit was like, just, you know, it was like there were things that I had buried, there were things that I had unforgiveness, there were things that I had like just like, yeah, whatever. I put it off. But I remember those moments in Hawaii where I was going for a walk and I was like, Lord, just help me. I need to deal with this. Which ultimately led me to areas of forgiveness. It led me to areas of repentance. But I want you to understand something, that God's always looking to change our heart. You know, the heart is the place, the inner source of where sin exists. So it's like, you know, God does want to take that scalpel. He wants us to cut away those things so we can be holy, so that we can be clean, so that we can be used God. Who wants to be used by God in their fullness? Yeah, amen. I mean, like a full. I want to be used at the fullest capacity possible. So we always have to look at that. I believe that our hearts have to be prepared. They have to be ready. True repentance, I would say this, it begins in the heart. It begins in the heart. You know, when the Holy Spirit convicts us. You know, it's not with shame, because a lot of people make that mistake. They think the conviction, it causes shame because you have guilt, because a lot of times you know what you shouldn't be doing. You know what you said you should have followed up with, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, Father, or forgive me of my thing that I did against my brother or my sister. You already know. So God's wanting us to always examine those things. Look deeply within our own selves. You know, listen, we can't fix others if we're not fixed. We can't get people where they need to be if we're not healed. I can know all the right things to say, but if I'm carrying that weight, I'm carrying that weight of sin, I can't break somebody out. Church, that's where I think that this is the thing that we're going to begin to see. And that's what Pastor Josh said. He said there was a level of repentance that broke out across that church, and the pastor called him and said, I've never seen anything like it. He said families that were broken, mended over one meeting, over one week, people running to the altars, forgiving one another, people that had been fighting for years. That's what God will do. That's revival. That's what God will do. When we lay those things down, I don't know if this is helping anybody tonight, but I just know that God's going to move. He's going to move, and I don't want to miss it. I want to be prepared for everything that God has for me. You know, one of the things that, you know, I would say that, you know, we're talking about the heart. See, in 2 Corinthians, it says this. It says, God, and I think we prayed this recently, and it was a prayer point. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves to regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So basically what it's saying is that worldly sorrow says, I'm sorry, but I got caught. Godly sorrow says, I've grieved the heart of my Father. There's a difference. I'm sorry, I got caught. It's time to quit playing patty cake with the Lord. It's time to quit playing patty cake. No. It's like, you know, no, I've grieved the heart of the Father. When we realize, and I'm telling you, that's what real repentance looks like. That's what having our heart check. Real repentance is that. It's that. It's not that I got, you know, and I think sometimes that's it. Well, I got caught. Let me make an excuse. Let me do this. Let me do that. No. It's that I've grieved the heart of the Father. I don't want to grieve the heart of the Father, church. None of us. That's why it's so important to have the right heart. You know, the other thing I would say this is that, you know, the Lord wants to change the mind. In Isaiah, this is so fascinating. See, the Lord wants to change the mind, but we have to be the ones that are willing to change the mind to usher in God, to for the Holy Spirit to come in. In Isaiah 55:7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Catch that one more time. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. So, you know, repentance, it also means to change your mind. See, heart's great, right? But, you know, there's the mind, you know, the soul of a man, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So it's like, you know, we position ourselves, we change our thinking. The Holy Ghost will help you in that. You think about Peter. He restored Peter. You know, I love that. I love the story of Peter being restored. But here's Peter on the day of Pentecost. He received an order from Jesus, and he went and did what Jesus said, go. Go over there and wait. Through that restoration, God now prepares Peter for the most powerful thing ever to impact the earth. See, a lot of times we'll be like, well, you know, Peter, you know, because, you know, there were probably ones that could, out of that 500, that said, well, you know, Peter, you know, he missed it. You know, they would have making fun of Peter. You know, he's thinking he's going to be a part of this. What did God do? He forgave him and he restored him because Peter's heart got right. His mind got right. Guys, that's what God wants to do. He wants us to get our hearts and our minds right. You know, I think I moved into an area where I'm talking about repentance a little bit here, but real repentance, you know, it's always going to include a turning or a trusting in God. It's like a 180. It's like, you know, I'm going to trust in God. I'm not going to trust in what somebody says. It's just like, I'm going this way now. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in the counsel. I'm going to trust in the things. I'm going to trust in somebody that's more mature in me. I'm going to trust in somebody that's willing to pour out into my life. You know, I would say this, that, you know, one of the things even about repentance that takes place is, you know, our life changes and we begin to bear different, you know, honestly, we begin to bear fruit. We begin to bear fruit when we come into an area of repentance with God and the Holy Spirit. There's fruit. There's fruit out of that. There's, you know, and he wants us to be fruitful, church. You know, and I would say that, you know, even in that, there's evidence. There's evidences of fruit. I see that in this house. There's evidence. There's evidence of people, you know, fruitfulness. You see that. Commitment, you see that. You see that from people here. And praise God, that's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. Praise God. My notes, I'm about to lose them all here in a second, but praise God, that's all right. You know, I would say this because even to come back around the posturing, because if we will, you know, position ourselves to stand, and have the right posture. And like I said, it's not just standing, but it's like there's more to it. It's like the heart has to have a posture. The mind has to have a posture. Your actions has to have a posture. Faith, you think about it. Faith, God loves faith. You know, faith has a place in every believer's life. It has. I mean, I love that. I love that. Church, we know how to please God. I mean, sometimes people wrestle with that. They wrestle with that question. How do I please God? How do I please God? With faith? Faith in what? Faith in Him. Faith in the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to move, allowing the Holy Spirit to allow yourself to be positioned by God. You know, you're allowing yourself to receive from Him. The book of Acts is, I believe, for me, it's. I can't say that I have a favorite book, but you see something that begins to transpire in the early church. People just believe God. You know, they believe God, but they received the Holy Spirit. They were endued with power. Church, that's very significant. That's very significant. You know, but hear me tonight, because you can pray in the Holy Ghost. You can do these things. You can have that experience, like on the day of Pentecost. You can have all of that. You know, because so what Pastor Josh was saying, you know, we think sometimes that God's only going to move in a Pentecostal church. No. You know, most people don't even, you know, some of the greatest revivals, they didn't happen in churches. They happen out in the country, hillside. A great revival took place in Kentucky. It was called the Stump Revivals. Preachers would stand up on stumps and preach the gospel in the early 1800s. Isn't that something? You know, I don't know. I'd have to have a bigger stump, I guess. I'm a little shorter, but you know, yeah. God's going to move through the church. That's good news. But He's going to move through people. God's ready to move. God is honestly. I just think if you'll set your faith in that area, like God's ready. He's ready to move in my life. God's ready. He's ready to do this thing. And I honestly believe it's like right now is like what is it that I need to cast off? What is it that I need to get rid of? What is it that maybe is blocking me from coming into the fullness of God? To examine that. I believe that's the heart of the Father right now. God's going to move in West Virginia. He's going to move in this church. That's what I felt to even tell you tonight. Like, He's going to move. Well, Pastor, you know, we lost our worship team. Look at what God's doing. He's raising up another worship team. And, you know, but it's like, you know, think about it. It's like it's in the hearts of them. Like, even tonight when they were singing, it was like, I just closed my eyes and you could hear the fullness of all the girls singing together. And you could hear all their voices and I'm like, that's powerful. That's powerful. And it was the heart of worship. See, God's, God's, He's looking for the heart of each of us. At our best ability, amen? At our best ability. You know, we talked about this and we talked about last week, we talked about faithfulness and we talked about obedience. And I do believe that it is an important hour for the church to be faithful, to be obedient, to do the things that the Lord's asking you to do. I really believe that if we'll catch that, we're going to experience God at all other levels. I really believe that. I really believe that we'll experience the more of God. I don't know about you, but I want the more of God. But you know, I know the more of God, it involves me. It involves me making sure that I'm right. Right? It's like, you know, your pastors have to be right. You know, we have to be ready for the things that God wants to do. And Pastor Brandon and I just, you know, already starting to talk about next year. It's like, you know, can't wait till we have the building bought. Can't wait till we have the building paid off. Amen. I know supernatural is going to happen very quickly. But thinking about, you know, already thinking about like October 31st, the amount of time and amount of hours that are even going into that right now to get people here. Man, that's awesome. Thinking about the harvest. Thinking about how we can bring in the harvest together. Amen. You know, think about it. If one person gets saved on October 31st, was it worth it? What's one soul worth? We believe for more. Amen. But I think that's our perspective. We have to think, we have to have a Christ-like perspective. You've been endued with power, church. Power from on high. And I love this because the setup for Acts chapter 1, you know, in the power of God will help you in so many things. It will. But, you know, the one thing that we can't miss out of Acts chapter 1 is when the church received the power, when the early church received it, they received power to be witnesses. You shall be my witness. What's a witness? A witness is somebody that tells others about, hey, I'm a Christian. And hey, let me introduce you to the guy that I know. His name's Jesus. This is what Jesus has done for me. People, you know, realizing like your testimony carries a weight and carries a power. And I believe that's something that the early church, they got, you know, think about it. They got 3,000 were added to the church just like that. They all had a testimony, didn't they? Hey, I got what they got. I was in the right place at the right time. But think about it. You know, as those 3,000 get filled, later, a few chapters later, a few years later, 5,000 get added to the church. There's something that's happening. There's something that's happening in the church. And I got good, you know, guys, good news. It's happening now again in the United States. It's happening again in West Virginia. It's, you know, our church in California, I don't know if anybody's following Antioch. You know, they had a guy by the name of Billy Burke here a few weeks ago. Dr. Morocco called Pastor Ernie, said, you need to call TBN. I've already set it up. They're going to come and film at your church. And he was like, I didn't know what to do. You know, other than the fact that open the doors and let TBN, and that's actually what happened. But they had revival breakout. They had genuine miracles. God's a miracle working God. They had people get up out of wheelchairs. They had people healed of terminal cancer. Praise God. You know, it's not just that God will do that in Antioch, or he'll do that in West Virginia. There's testimonies like that here. You know, two years ago, I want your cousin, right? The baby. You know, and Pastor Michael asked me about it. I'd love to, she needs to bring the baby in here so we can see the baby. That was a miracle. God did that. That baby come back to life. And you know, above all else, we just wanted to love God and serve God. Get that kid in church, loving Jesus, amen. And I prayed for her multiple times. I don't know if she's in church anywhere. If she is, praise God, I hope she is. But but guys, we prepare our hearts by saying, yeah, God's ready to move. And then the next piece of that is, what's my part? How do I step into that? How do I step into the moving of God in my own life? Personalize it. Personalize it. Make it personal. God wants to move. God wants to move. I don't know. I felt like I got some other things, but I don't know. I feel like I'm going to close here tonight.
Praise God.
Two things, and I'll close with this, and I'm not long, but you know, two things that I kind of jumped into was, you know, even around repentance, get things right with God. Church, have things right with the Lord. Is, you know, above all else, be right with people. I'm not telling you got to go have. You got to go on vacation with them, but be right with people. Amen. Be right with people. Because I do believe that a lot of times things don't happen in our lives because we just because we're dealing with stuff. And I believe like when that stuff is surrendered before the Lord, that stuff is laid down, it's bare, it's surrendered before God. It's like, you know, here I am, Lord. I think that's Isaiah. You know, because even if you look at even Isaiah, you know, that follow-up was like, now go do this. it's, but here I am, Lord. And I think sometimes to say that, here I am, Lord, use me, it's like you've got to now, when you're saying that and he's ready to touch a few things that you need to deal with, you got to allow that to begin to take place. Don't play games with the Holy Spirit. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to play games with the Holy Spirit. It's very dangerous. Don't play games with God. I'll go so far, Lord. Here I am, Lord, send me. But not that. Not this. Not that. I'm right here, Lord. And I think, church, sometimes that's like, I feel like that's what we're going to see a release in. And I believe that's why we're seeing families mended. You're seeing people that have reconciling, you know, crazy stuff. People walking in forgiveness, walking in all that stuff. It's because God's coming soon, church. He's coming soon. He's going to come and he's going to rapture the church out. I don't know if you guys got fired up watching that video Sunday night, but that put a little bit of fire in my belly. There's a, you know, it's important, right? To, I mean, you know, even as we scream peace, peace, peace for 2 days, that lasted about 48 hours. Because now there's already conflict again in the Middle East between Gaza and Israel. It didn't take long. So we gotta be ready, church. Have our hearts right, have our minds right. Just allow the Lord to do that. Allow the Lord to work on you. He will. Give him permission. Amen. Give him permission. There's so many great stories in the book of Acts, and I want to encourage you guys throughout these next few months leading up to the new year, just read the book of Acts. Spend some time, you know, going through and reading about. And, you know, the one thing that I would ask that you would do is see how the early church moved. See how the early church operated. And, you know, because there's so many components. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't feel called to go out on the streets. I can't do that. But, you know, one of the things the early church did was they prayed. They were involved in prayer. They were praying for Peter while Peter was in prison. So there's so many things that we can take away from and we can learn from. And we can say, well, you know, hey, I can't go out on Saturday. You know, this Saturday, we're going to try to take as many out as we can Saturday to go hit the streets. I mean, we've got to get flyers out and we've got several areas we're going to cover. So please come. If you've never done it before, it's mainly flying, but we believe for souls every time we go out. Amen. So you know, we're going to do that Saturday. But you know, that's... We do it because we love the Lord. Amen. I don't have anything else tonight. Man, there's so many things here that he's ready to move. Kings, he's ready to move. And so prepare, get ready. He's ready to move. He's ready to move in your life. He's ready to do great things. So if you leave here tonight, you know, and like I said, if you got to fix some stuff, fix it. Amen. Fix some stuff. Get some stuff right before the Lord. Fix it. Fix, you know, the best fixing. Any, you know, I can't fix Miranda. Miranda can't. I mean, we love each other. Amen. We get together. We talk. We work through things. Yes. But ultimately, the Lord works. You know, it's like God is the center of our relationship and marriage. If she comes to me to try to fix me, you know, it's going to cause an argument. Well, you know, if I go to her and try to fix her, it's going to cause an argument. But when you put Jesus in the center, man, things really work out a lot better. Amen. That's the only thing. God's wanting to do that in our lives. He's wanting to do that in your life. And I'm telling you, sometimes, you know, if it hurts, it's probably a good sign that, you know, it's like, I got to deal with this. Right? Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. God's moving, church. He's moving. You're here on a Wednesday night, and I believe everybody in here uniquely can be used by God in crazy kind of ways. Kaylee, I mean, just like the mission. You know, and I'll say this because, you know, even you going down there, it's like God's moving. Those young men come in and got saved. That's not a small thing. But even as God's moving, and hear this, it's like, God, church, we have to have strategies. We're just not flying by and doing whatever. No, we got to have the right strategies in place now. And I believe that's some of the next steps for the church, is the right strategies. We're praying about the outreach for the kids, the right strategies. Hitting it hard, going out, inviting people, strategy. Anyway, it's a whole other message, I guess. But I'm excited, church. God's on the move, and he's going to move. And you have a pastor that's saying, here I am, Lord, use me. You have another pastor saying, here I am, use me, Lord. Use us. It's been our cry. It's been our plea before the Lord. We felt called back to West Virginia because we knew God would move here. Not that he wasn't here. He was here. But that we would see a great move of God. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand tonight. Praise Jesus. Love you guys. It's good. I don't know. I feel like I'm just a good mood tonight. I just feel like I was in a good mood all day. You ever just get in a good mood? Like you're in it, like you know you're in a good mood? Like, amen. Like you just know, like, God is good. I'm just in a good mood. Not fun to be in a bad mood, right? Not that anybody's going to say, well, I'm in a bad mood, Pastor. You know, not that anybody's going to come in here and confess that, but I don't know. Just choosing to be in a good mood, I guess. Amen. Praise God. Let me bless you tonight. Hey, everybody saved? Look around. I think everybody's. Amen. You saved? If you're saved, raise your hand. Yeah. Okay. Well, come on up here. We'll do it. We've got plenty of people that'll pray with you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me bless you. Father, I thank you tonight for the word. And Father, I pray may we find encouragement through it. That Father, that you're moving and going to move. And Father, I pray that, Lord, even as we see as an example of your Spirit being poured out in the book of Acts, I thank you, Father, that that's continual. Father, that, you know, we don't have to miss anything in 2025, Father, that you want to do. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, you know, even so, Father, that our hearts be pure, clean before you, that we would walk holy before you. Father, expose anything that we personally need to work on, or anything that we need to be set free of, Father. And, Father, I thank you for that. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for a house that prays. Father, that this is a church that prays, Father, that, you know, it is one of the most important things we do as we pray. We call upon you, Father. And Lord, may that always be a thing that we never waver in, Father, that we never waver from prayer. And Father, that you would pour out your Spirit, I pray. And Father, I thank you for the blessing of the Lord. Bless every family here. Lord, divine health, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that their family shall know salvation. That, Lord, even before the year's out, Lord, 5, 10, 15, 20 family members shall be saved. And, Father, we thank you for that tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.